Today's reading is from Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and a man lame from birth was being carried in. People would lay him daily at the gate of the temple called the Beautiful Gate so that he could ask for alms from those entering the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked them for alms. Peter looked intently at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. Peter said, "I have no silver or gold, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. Jumping up, he stood and began to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising. All the people saw him walking and praising God, and they recognized him as the one who used to sit and ask for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and astonishment at what had happened to him. Word of life, word of God.
Like the healed beggar in the scripture that we just heard, I feel like leaping and praising God. I'm so grateful to be here with you. I'm so grateful to God for this very moment to stand here with you and share in worship and praise. Here we are together in the presence of the great communion of saints, those who have gone before us and those who will come after us. Can you feel them here? Can you feel their witness, their faithfulness, maybe family members, friends who are no longer with us, their voices echoing across this century? Can you remember some of them now? Can you see them in your mind's eye, singing, taking Holy Communion, passing the peace? 100 years of God's presence in this holy place. No human words can begin to encompass the scope of ministry that Christ has accomplished through this community. So let's start not with our human words, but where we find our hope and our home, in the divine word. We seek Jesus, the living word. And we find Jesus in Scripture, in today's Scripture, where we discover a lame beggar laying by the beautiful gate at the temple. That lame beggar is front and center in our story. That's what the story is about. But behind the scenes, there are others. There are people who bring him there every day. He can't get there on his own. Now, that's a job, bringing him from wherever he lives to the temple every day. And we also have the people who stop on their way into worship and give him alms, share some money so he can eat and live. This business has been going on for years. And you know, I served in Jerusalem, and it still goes on in the old city there today. But Peter and John arrive on the scene. Peter, who denied Jesus. John, who fled the garden in fear. Now here they are, healing in the name of Jesus, restored to right relationship with God through Jesus, empowered to do good works in Jesus' name. The beggar doesn't ask to be healed. Notice? The beggar doesn't know about Jesus. He hasn't shown up there that day looking for Jesus and asking for healing. The beggar doesn't even believe in Jesus. Who is Jesus? But Peter and John, recipients of such grace and forgiveness, are empowered to offer healing and grace in Jesus' name. And they do. Jesus shows up through Peter and John. Jesus is present in, with, under and through those who carried the lame beggar to the temple, those who gave alms, and through Peter and John. Jesus comes to us through one another in community. When Jesus comes to us, we are filled with gratitude and empowered to go out and let Christ work through us for the sake of the whole world. Jesus shows up through you. Jesus has been showing up through the people of Epiphany Lutheran Church for 100 years. Jesus showed up through Pastor Kempfer. He was a great man, Pastor Ernest Kempfer. He wouldn't have said that about himself. And he wasn't great because of himself. None of us are. He was great because he served a great God. In his final sermon, Pastor Kempfer died very young. He was 55 years old. And in his final sermon, which was preached just 2 days before his death in 1965, Pastor Kempfer said, "Think more of one another than you do of yourself. Don't always be asking, what's in it for me?" In serving others, we bring glory to God. I learned that here. I learned that from this congregation, from you. Jesus became real for me because of the people of Epiphany Lutheran Church. It started in the 1940s, decades before I was born. Jesus worked through my grandma Mary, who, although she was a good Methodist, who really had no use for the liturgy, she married a German. And even though he refused to go to church, he wanted his daughter raised Lutheran. So my grandma Mary faithfully brought my beloved mom Wilma to Epiphany in the 1940s. The little white church on Brandon, where the young Pastor Kempfer was serving. And my mom went to Sunday school with Pastor Kempfer's daughter Charlotte. And together their faith and hope grew. Jesus was there then. And Jesus was here. Jesus was here when Pastor Johann Berg baptized me in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit on Pentecost in 1973. Now you can figure out how old I am. I'm 51. Jesus showed up here through the young pastor with the bright red hair, Reverend Frank Payne, who is here with us today, who patiently shared lessons with me in preschool, and decades later was my colleague as a pastor in Southeast Michigan. Welcome home, Pastor Payne, and thank you. And Jesus was made real when Pastor Frank's wife, Diane, put up with my foolish questions in Sunday school. She was here earlier today, and we walked down to the room where she taught me in fourth grade. She was kind to me in spite of myself. Christ was with my Sunday school teacher, Miss Winnie, who knit me a pair of little yellow gloves. She knit a pair of gloves for every student in her Sunday school class to show them that they were loved. Not all people everywhere, and maybe you at some time, has not had a loving or safe experience at church, but I did. You were for me, Epiphany was for me, a safe, loving community, just as a church should be, bearers of the light and life of Jesus, a star to illumine the way. And then, through all of you, Jesus gave to me the gift of a seminary education, undeserving though I was. I was not a Luther League member or active in the senior high youth group. I was not an active participant in Sunday school. I never sang in the choir. You wouldn't want me to sing in the choir, but I had gone off to college to get my degree in engineering, and I had not been involved in worship. And yet, Pastor Peter Brown, who I still consider a dear friend and mentor, and who had confirmed me when I was a distracted ninth grader, and the late Pastor Larry Smith, who didn't even know me since I wasn't around, I was off at college when he arrived and began his ministry, both Pastor Smith and Pastor Brown affirmed that I was on the membership rolls. I guess I had communed or contributed once during the year, somehow, and therefore I technically qualified for the Kempfer Fund, the scholarship that would allow me to follow God's call into the ordained ministry of word and sacrament in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. I wasn't sure of what I was doing. I remember reading the fine print on the scholarship. It's probably changed now, but at the time, it said that if a female recipient of the Kempfer Scholarship did not become a pastor, that was okay. As long as they married a pastor, they were forgiven the debt. And that was only true for the female pastors. Well, I married a pastor. Wave your hand, pastor. So I guess the terms were adequately met. I didn't know what I was doing, but Jesus did. Jesus does. Jesus calls us to love and serve one another, fumbling forward the best we can to show up for one another, to be a community. You answered the call. Thank you. Every day I serve in gratitude to God, and every day I serve, I remember this holy community and the great work God has done through you. And the great work God will do. It's not over yet. Not by a long shot. Pastor Smithberger, Pastor Fry, your talented musicians, those who serve in such a myriad of ways. This is not the church I grew up in. Thanks be to God. And the reason for our gratitude, for our thanks, is rock solid and doesn't change, even as everything around us does and should. But the reason for our gratitude is unyielding, ever constant, not based on good fortune or good health or good luck or good attendance or good offering in the plate. Our gratitude in joy and in sorrow is grounded in the promise of the everlasting, ever-living presence of Jesus, who comes to us even when we aren't asking, when we aren't looking, and when we aren't believing, lifting us up and binding us together in love, leaping and praising God. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our God is with us. Have hope. Be emboldened. Keep your lamps lit and your stars burning, beloved community. The next 100 years starts now. Amen.